Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
Good morning, True North. My name is Kathleen. I'm part of the teaching team here at True North. I am so blessed to get to talk to you today. I would have loved to have been in the auditorium with all of you worshiping and sharing this message in person, but I'm really excited that I get to still stay connected with you and have church with you. So, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty scared right now. I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. I'm really worried. I'm thinking back over this past month and what's been going on in our world, and I bet my experience is probably pretty similar to some of yours. In the middle of March, both of my parents came down with the virus. Just saying those words, I feel like I'm living in a movie. My parents live about an hour away, and I couldn't go there and be with them and help them get better. Every morning, my husband, who's an essential worker, gets up, says goodbye to me, and both of us get worried he might come in contact with someone who is sick, and then my husband, who has a compromised immune system, he's had pneumonia a few times, we get really nervous he could get sick and it could be a serious situation. I'm working from home. That's been a challenge for me. And I also have a lot of trouble sleeping. When I do sleep, my new dream is I am in the middle of the supermarket. I'm going down the aisle the wrong way. I forgot my mask. And the police have been called, and they're on their way to arrest me. So I'm nervous at home, I'm nervous when I'm not at home, and I'm nervous when I'm sleeping. And I think this is a shared experience. We're all going through something in our lives. I had a close friend who gave birth in the beginning of April, and her husband had to leave and go home and take care of their other kids at home, and she had to come out of the hospital with her newborn baby with a nurse, because her husband couldn't come back in. Some of you have had really severe situations. Maybe you were sick. Maybe you're recovering. You hear all this news about how bad this virus is. You know it firsthand. More severely, some of you have lost loved ones. You're grieving, and you're grieving alone. You can't be with the people you love right now who want to be with you too. Your homes have become offices. They've become classrooms. Birthday parties have been turned into birthday parades. Those of you who are waiting to go back to work wonder if you have a job to go back to, and you wonder if when you go back, how can I stay healthy? We are lonely. We're isolated. We're depressed. We are worried. This was supposed to be a simple sermon about worry. When Pastor Bert asked me to write this and work on this, it was over a year ago when I was part of a preaching practicum. And this was a message I'd actually given. It was the first message I ever gave in a tiny church on Fire Island. So I pulled out my notes. I had this in the bag. I was ready. And I took one look at my opening line, and it was, "Think of one thing you're worried about." I actually laughed at myself. How we all have so many things we're worried about right now. I can't ask you to do that. I had to go through this whole sermon again, but there was one thing that stuck out to me. God's truth never changes. God's truth is everlasting. The same principles, the core teaching that was in that message a year ago, it's still true today. Just has some different things that I have to talk to you about. Worry, anxiety, fear of the future, these are usual feelings. But now, these are usual feelings in unusual circumstances. We're all feeling the same thing at the same time. Pretty much all started on Monday, March 16th, when we could all say, in some way, our lives changed. But these feelings were not unlike the feelings of those who followed Jesus 2,000 years ago. they too had worry and anxiety. And Jesus preached about these feelings, not just to talk about them, but so that we would know how to react in situations, something like what we're going through right now. So Jesus preached about worry as part of his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is where we're going to be looking today at our teachings about worry. But this was the longest message that Jesus taught that's recorded for us in the Bible. And it's about what his followers needed to hear and what they needed to hear the most. These are teachings for us so that we know how to live differently. We learn how to respond to God's grace. We learn how to live and have relationships with other people. And this also is a teaching to help us transform our relationship with God. So now we're going to take a look at Jesus's teaching on worry. If you have a Bible, I invite you to grab it. If you don't, you're in luck, technology. You can grab the YouVersion app on your phone and follow along with me. We're in Matthew chapter 6 in the New Testament, and we are going to start with verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? That last line there hit me pretty hard at the end, you of little faith. And I think there, when Jesus speaks directly to us, he knows when we're worried, when we're anxious, one of the first things we're going to do is start this cycle of doubt. Where are you, God? What's going on? God wants us to have faith in these moments. We don't have to be a people of little faith. We serve a big God in these moments who doesn't want us to worry. What we see from this teaching is Jesus understands worry. He wants to dispel that worry. In some translations, it says, do not worry. And my mother-in-law's in seminary, so she helped me on this one. That Greek word is merimnate. We don't have a tense in English that is like in the Greek. That means don't even start worrying. Don't worry now. Don't worry later. Don't even start it. God's saying don't even go there. Why would he say that to us? Because we start that cycle, and worry is a cycle of inward focus. For me, the cycle of worry that I got trapped in was finding paper towels. I couldn't find them anywhere. I had a ton of rags I could use, but I needed paper towels. And I got in that cycle of checking Amazon every day and refreshing and refreshing. And finally, I could get paper towels. So now, evidence of that cycle of worry is in the fort of paper towels you could build in my house. It shows my worry built in my laundry room right there for me. It's important to be prepared. It's not good to get worried. Worry can paralyze us. We can become crippled by worry. Our circumstances instead need to be overcome by truth, by God's truth. Jesus wants us to know and understand who we as people are. We have a limited scope. We have a limited vision. We have zero concept of the future. What these passages teach us is that we matter so much to God that he invites us to come to him and tell him our worries. The worries he already knows. He still wants that relationship with us. We have an opportunity to be grateful that our God understands our worry. He takes the craziness, he makes it calm. Now we're going to look back at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 31 and continue there from 31 to 34. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Well, that's really true right now, isn't it? Each day brings us another newscast. Each day brings us another news briefing. We have so many things to worry about right now, we can't even worry about tomorrow. God doesn't want us to. This section of scripture is sometimes called the remedy for worry. And the remedy is seek God's kingdom. Well, how do we do that when we're consumed by worry? How do we do that when we're living in the midst of a pandemic? We have to serve God's kingdom in spite of our worry. The first thing that it says here in scripture is bring it to God. Bring it all to God in prayer because he cares for us. So we see in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. James 5:13, are any among you in trouble? They should pray. And I just kept thinking as I was reading those scriptures, think about your own father. I am so blessed. I have an amazing father. And all throughout this, I would call him. And I would just cry. Be like, Dad, I'm really scared about you. I don't know how you're doing. I'm scared about work. I'm terrified about my husband. I don't know what to do. It was so easy for me to pick up the phone and call my dad. But you have access to a father in heaven that is right there. In the midst of trouble, God is close to you. He is alongside you. You are invited to pick up that phone and call your dad. In these moments of seeming isolation, God is near. I also want to say, I know that there are some people out there right now who are in scary situations that many of us can't comprehend. You may have been dealing with worry and anxiety before all of this, and you feel in a desperate situation. You might be living with someone, and you might not be safe at home. Please know there are places you can go. We will help you here at True North. We want to. So if something in this message hit you, you are not alone. The second thing that God tells us to do is be thankful. Be full of thanks. A verse that I live by and I love is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 17. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Even now. That's one of those coffee cup Christian sayings. And I have it hanging up in my kitchen, but I think it's on the coffee cup because it's the best way to start your day. Wake up. Thank God. even in the midst of these most difficult times, when things are hard, we have things that we can be grateful for. How much do we treasure our family? What about technology? The fact that we can still have church, even though we can't be in the same building. You might even be feeling, despite all this hectic craziness, a sense of calm that's unexpected in these moments that you can be grateful for. Sometimes it's the gift of time itself. We might feel we have too much time. We might be watching a lot on Netflix. We might be scrolling through social media. That's a gift of time that you can be using in different ways that God is giving you now in the midst of what's happening in our world. So keep being thankful, and be thankful through prayer. The third thing, seek the kingdom of God by fulfilling the needs of others. And you're probably watching saying, how do I do that right now? I can't go anywhere and I'm home, but you can. Philippians 2:4 teaches us, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Worry paralyzes us in such a way that it causes us to be self-motivated instead of seeing the needs of other people in our lives. And one thing we've seen over the past few months is a lot of people can use our help. God sees the needs of those who are worried. He sees you. He sees your family and friends and their worries. God wants you to see and respond to the needs of others. Are you feeling the nudge from God right now to live outside yourself? Are you feeling that nudge to live beyond your worry? You can do that right now. You know, we all have these things, every single one of you, called a phone. And before phones were used for social media or games, phones were used to speak to people with words. And I encourage you to pick up that phone and call someone. I'm blessed to be in a community group, and a woman, Angela, has called me twice over this time just to see how I'm doing. I didn't know that I needed that, but I did. And I guarantee someone in your life needs to hear your voice. So pick up your phone and speak into it. Trust me, it works. I also in my group have a woman named Gwen. She's incredible. She has been sewing this beautiful quilt for her newborn granddaughter, Everly, in Savannah. And she's all excited to go. She had her tickets and she couldn't go. So she decided to use her sewing machine to do something else. And she sewed the most beautiful masks for people to keep them safe. She didn't even have to leave her house. My husband is going to a birthday parade for a child. This is not something he would ever do, but he's gonna do it. And he's gonna blow a whistle. And he's gonna celebrate a little girl who's having a birthday during this time. When my parents were sick, the person taking care of them was my brother. And my brother Chris and his fiance Christina were supposed to get married on April 4th. And in all that worry of getting ready for a wedding with 200 people, that went down to 100, that went down to 50, that went down to 10, had to be postponed. We still don't know what's happening with that. They love each other, they're getting married, but we don't know when. And in all that moment of worry, my brother put that aside and he took care of my parents. He went grocery shopping for them, he cared for them, and he made sure to keep the other people in our household healthy. So in spite of that worry he was dealing with, he still made a difference in caring for others. If you don't know where to start praying, I encourage you just to share with God your worries right now If you're looking for a place to help you with that, open your Bible and take a look at the book of Psalms. It's filled with verses that can be teaching you how God is there in the midst of trial. Also remember the things that have been going on in the past few months that you want to hold on to. For me, I'm not going to overschedule my life after this. I'm going to make sure that friends and family are my priority. And when I'm with them, I'm not posting it on social media. I'm taking pictures with my family for my photo album so that I can remember them and remember these awesome moments. I'm going to stay connected to them. I'm studying scripture like I never did before because I have the gift of time. Just think about those things you've been able to do that have been life-giving despite this time that seems so challenging. When you're able to live outside of your worry, you are ready. You are equipped to serve God's kingdom. Walk alongside other people in their worry, even at a social distance. In these moments, in these uncertain times, with these feelings, we can be certain about one thing. Our God is in control. Will you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you for True North and the staff and Pastor Bert who are helping us host church here, Lord. Thank you for the gift of technology that we are meeting. I pray for each person, Lord, who is overcoming worry. I pray for each person who may be ill, who may be sick, who may be caring for loved ones, who may be grieving. Be their comfort. Be our comfort, Lord. I thank you for the many blessings that have been shown despite these times. And I ask you to keep us connected to you during these times. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.